All right, well, Bernie, I appreciate you coming on to talk to us today about the late, great Bob Nalbandian as we pay tribute to the wonderful man he was. You know, I know, you know, most people I've been talking to for this tribute, you know, they tend to, when I ask them when the first time they remember, you know, meeting Bob or their first experience with him, a lot of times they have a hard time remembering because they said he was always just everywhere in the L.A. metal scene in those earlier days. So for you personally, I mean, what can you recall maybe the first time you met Bob or the first experience you've ever had with him going back to those early days?
If I recall correctly, it had to be the country club.
Okay.
We played the country club a lot. And Bob, I guess the first time he saw us, he just kept following us. I mean, he kept up with us, mm-hmm. you know. And after a while, you start seeing the same guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And you go like, I'm Bob, you know. Hey, what's up, Bob, you know. And after that, it was like, you know, before you knew it, you know, we were always inviting him backstage to hang out with us. And, you know, and he was, I think he had a rag at that point, the magazine, you know, doing his thing. I think he put us in the magazine, you know, cause he really dug what we were doing, you know, and of course we were different, mm-hmm. you know, and, but he stuck to it like glue. He just like a right to it. Not even a head trip at all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Cause, during those days, I mean, when we came out, we had to push through a little bit, you know, because sure. people were like, oh my God, you know, they're all black, you know, and they're mm-hmm. playing heavy metal, you know, mm-hmm. hard rock, you know. Bob was just like, chink, straight to the point. Yeah, what's up? And then that was it.
yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, I was going to actually ask you, obviously, you know, during those days, I'm sure you had as many detractors as you did supporters because of that. And, you know, I know Bob, I've known him for 16 years, and he just always talked about Sound Barrier and what a fan he was, you know, not just to the band, but you guys as people, more importantly. I mean, so, I mean, really overall, I guess, you know, how important really was he, I guess, to the band in terms of really, like you said, pushing you guys and being there at a time, you know, even using maybe some of his connections in the business, really at a time where I'm sure not a lot of people were actually doing that for you guys.
That's true. Bob, like I said, he had a magazine, but he was always connected to other people, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, and he was always turning on other people to us, you know. Metal Blade got turned on, I think, through us, or John Sutherland. But yeah, those guys, Bob was always talking us up, you know, always showing up to every show, you know, that kind of thing. And whatever he could do, Bob would do, you know, it's as simple as that. And, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I know, obviously, you know, you guys were Sound Barrier, you guys were on MCA back in 83 when you put out Total Control. And obviously, you know, you said you were on Metal Blade a couple of years later with Speed of Light. And I know guys like Bob and obviously, you know, Brian Slagle, who put out the record, you know, they were behind, you know, behind the band, I guess, at a time where, like I said, a lot of people probably either just forgot about you or ignored you. You know, like it happens all the time in music, right? You know, once a band, you know, once these new up and coming bands come, they just kind of quickly forget the other bands. But I know he was always saying he was very loyal, I know, to you guys. And he really just believed always in Sound Barrier as a band with the music and everything. So, I mean, how really, I guess I would say, important was he in terms of really just sticking with the band and being behind you guys during those days when people probably were just sort of like ready to move on and forget about Sound Barrier at that point?
Well, I mean, like I said, his loyalty was the biggest focus. Mm-hmm. He really didn't have that kind of power to place us somewhere, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was just his, he always wrote about us if he had a chance, you know, and he always came to every gig. That was that kind of thing you don't really see too much, when that kind of loyalty, you know. And every time you see him or run across him, it's always the same vibe, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, Bernie, you know, and they say, hey, you know, he put together that that metal series, you know, mm-hmm. the Inside Metal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, he put us in there in a prominent space. which gave us, you know, in his documentary, which gave us, you know, I'm sure a lot of people saw that. Some people call me up and say, man, I just saw this documentary, you know. And I say, oh, yeah, that's Bob Nalbandian, you know. That's what he does. He and Carl Alvarez. Yeah. So, yeah, they pushed us like, you know, whatever they could do. And that was a big one because, you know, he's asked us, could we be in there and use music? I said, oh, sure, you know, for sure, you know, to complete that documentary because, you know, there were several other offers for us because there was not a band like us during that period for us to do, you know, documentaries or be a part of a box set, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so sometimes he would call on that. And if he had information, you know, got wind of something, you know, and then we'd have to decide if we wanted to be involved. But, yeah, we would be the band that, you know, Bob would always push, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, yeah, Inside Metal, I know you said you featured very prominently in that. Obviously, he had that T Radio V, I know, series he did as well. I believe he had you on that. And we're, I think, you know, yeah. And I think that's a lot of people, right? Yeah, I think a lot of people also, you know, really know, I think, about, like you said, they know about the band probably more than ever at certain points because of that, because he didn't make sure you guys weren't just a blip on the radio and forgotten about. He really did, like you said, include you in all those documentaries and everything. So he obviously, I think, you know, do you think how important was he, I guess, really to even just keeping the band's significance and relevance to today? I mean, you guys obviously, you know, about a handful of years ago, you know, you did some things with Tom Morello. So, you know, now Soundbarry is definitely a name that people, maybe they didn't hear about 10 years ago. Now they definitely have. And I'm sure he probably had a lot to do with that in certain ways.
Yeah. You never know how it goes, you know, through word of mouth and stuff. Cause Bob was like that kind of guy, always spreading us because I mean, I still get, hit on YouTube, you know, channel from Brazil or something. And some 25-year-old guy told me that he got turned on to Sound Barrier from his dad. And I'm like, cool. You know, and it's like, yeah, we were just watching it on the YouTube. And I said, who is that? You know, and that's, you know, you never know what, because Bob had his hands everywhere. You know, he was always into stuff. So I even did he hooked me up with a Swedish guitar player a couple of years after Sound Barrier. I forget his name now, but he hooked me up with him and we cranked out about 6 songs or so, you know, and Bob was carrying that around, showing that to different people, you know, and it was just like on a 4-track, just demo, I mean, real demo stuff, you know, and it was just, but we started cranking out some nice songs and that was over at Bob's house here in North Hollywood. You know, he said, you know, hey, I want you to meet this dude, you know, and then he knew me. I hadn't heard of him, but then, you know, Bob turned me on to his history and we started cranking out a couple of songs. So that's how Bob works, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I know. He was just a great guy. I mean, you know, Barry, I appreciate you coming on and just taking some, you know, time here to talk about him. Just any last words you want to say about Bob, or if you could say one thing to him, maybe, you know, if you ran into him again, what would you tell him? I mean, just, I guess, wrap it up by giving a little ode to Bob.
Yeah. You know, I got the email or message on Facebook that he was gone and I didn't know. So it hit me hard, you know, because if we were together, we would always, you know, do shots together, go to the restaurant and eat together, go around to the Roxy and get a pizza. I mean, you know, it was like that, you know, the rainbow, you know, we just sit up there and, you know, just, you know, if he's in there and I walk in there, he go, ah, oh, Bernie, come on over here. You know, but you want some pizza, man? You know, let's do a shot, you know, and it's like always the same. That's the one thing, you know, you can't say that about people. So a lot of people always the same. So Bob was, if you know how, certain people hit you in your mind and your heart, that's Bob.
All right, Floyd Joy, thanks for coming on and talking about Bob with us. How you doing, bud?
I'm great, man. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks so much. You know, Joe, I mean, the first question I'm, you know, pretty much asking everyone, what was, if I guess the first time, when was the first time you met Bobby, you ran into him, if you can remember that far back? I know it's a while, but.
Yeah, no, I remember it very well because really I met Bob when we, it was at my birthday party that my friend AC threw. And so I was starting to work on a documentary that my producing partner, Warren, had said, you should do a documentary about the L.A. rock scene back in the day. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. And, you know, I really didn't have a plan for it. I had a camera and that was it. So, AC said, hey, you know, Bob does journalism and stuff. He's deep in the scene, loves it. So you should talk to him. And so I went over and met Bob and said, hey, you know, what do you think about doing a documentary? And he was on board right away. So, you know, we connected. And that was where our journey began.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Now I know, you know, obviously, Bob was always a big fan and champion of the band, of your band Warrior back in the '80s. I know, I think I saw the other day he had featured the band in one of his Headbanger zines. I think it was in one of the editor's playlists or something. Do you remember when you were coming up with Warrior? Do you remember, the Headbanger at all when that was, in and around Southern California at the time?
Do I remember the Headbanger magazine?
Yeah, Bob's Fanzine.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, no, I don't recall it, but it's, you know, I might have seen it, but yeah, I didn't really read a lot of mags and stuff in those days, except maybe like Cream and some of the European ones, you know, when I pick one up, but.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So now when you were working with Bob, obviously doing the Inside Metal documentaries, obviously those were very heralded. I mean, everybody's been talking about what great insight. I mean, when I was, you know, watching those documentaries, it was great because there was a bunch of bands I hadn't really heard of before, especially in the earlier parts, like the late 70s, early part, you know, of the decade of the 80s in L.A. And I know, obviously, with Warrior, I know you guys originally from San Diego and then moved up to L.A. But, you know, when you were doing the documentary, I mean, how much of, a resource was Bob? You know, Bob's always been known as this just walking encyclopedia of metal.
Oh, God, yeah. Bob was totally invaluable. I mean, it was serendipity that we met, because if I would have tried to pull it off without Bob as an ally, it never would have happened. So it was definitely meant to be. And he took the reins. He grabbed the bull by the horns, really. It became his documentary, honestly. And he just went to work, rounded up all the interviews. We did a lot of them right here at my house out on the back deck. And it was great because I knew a lot of the people, of course, some peripherally and some as friends. And so it was a great opportunity to reconnect. And it just turned into an adventure. You know, it had definitely had its challenges. I'll say that. It's not an easy thing for every hour, you know, documentary. It's 100 hours of footage that has to be sorted, edited, you know, and he just had the right mindset to dive in, organize it, look at creating the overall start to finish and visualize it. So yeah, Bob was just awesome, amazing.
Now, when you guys started doing the series, did you know that you were going to be doing that many, you know, I think it was it five of them, I believe, five different documentaries, I think, for each period. Did you know, like, there was going to be that much of it going into doing this, or you just think you were just going to do one?
No, the original plan, I think, was just the one, you know, and see how that goes. we weren't quite that ambitious to think we could do that, do, you know, a whole series. But the first one had so much material, so much footage that it grew. And then it was like, okay, this has to be two episodes. It's just too much. And, you know, again, kudos to Bob for doing that. Especially the editing part is so tedious and really requires incredible dedication, and he had it absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now, with obviously meeting and working with Bob, you know, during the documentaries, I mean, did you guys, you know, obviously what a lot of people obviously always talk about Bob is, you know, he's really one of the most genuine, you know, and trustworthy and honest kind of, you know, one of the most honest people you're going to meet, you know, very genuine, which, as you know, a lot of people have been saying, obviously, who've worked in the music business, you don't find that too often. You know, obviously music business is a cutthroat thing, as everyone knows. And you know, to find a guy like Bob, a guy, you know, you could really count on, rely on, was, you know, few and far between. I mean, would you agree with that, especially in terms of, you know, how you've obviously been in the music business for so long? I mean, do you agree with that, and that Bob was definitely someone that you could turn to, and, you know, he was just a genuine and honest guy that you knew you could count on?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as I came to know Bob, and we hung out together and went on these adventures, and yeah, that's it. He was just such a soulful guy, and he had great trust between us, and you know, I knew I could count on him to stick it out, and he wasn't flaky at all. You know, he was just a really cool and passionate human that I fell in love with, honestly. You know, he very inspired me to carry it through and do our work, and that's how we became friends. And then we started, you know, just hanging more and drinking beers together, and Toby you know, was sort of our friend too, and we'd hang out with him, and then we brought Carl into the mix and traveled up to the Bay Area to interview Metallica, and we went to Vegas, and so we had a lot of fun adventures together and became, you know, good buds.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anything, you know, I mean, we wanted to sort of get people to talk maybe about one story or so that they had, Bob, that the first thing that comes to mind, you know, one of the most memorable times that they've had with Bob. Would you mind sharing just a story that you have with him, that comes to mind?
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of stories, but our adventures on the road, I guess, would be the things that kind of stick in my mind, you know, taking these drives and you know, hanging out. We would go, like, when we were in Vegas, we would do an interview, and then we'd still be all kind of pumped up. So we'd go out and hit a club or, you know, a bar, and we did some partying for sure, you know. And nice. It was great. It was great. The camaraderie that we shared, and you know, working towards this goal of making a documentary, which I'm pretty proud of. You know, if you were there, if you lived the 80s, I think it's something that people enjoy to be reminded of that time. It really was a unique time in LA. Bob did I had to kind of bow out after that, but he had, you know, was full on in that direction and created the other follow-up episodes and stuff. So
mm-hmm. And did Bob ever try to encourage you to you know, keep moving forward with Warrior, you know, even though it's been some time? Because I know, like I said, he's always been a big champion of the band, and he's always wearing your shirt. He's still got that old Warrior shirt, and he's even gotten, I remember I was interviewing Sin Kieran, who's, you know, the ex-Ministry guitarist, who loved Warrior, and he was so happy that Bob was able to get him a Warrior shirt from you, I guess, during the time you guys were putting out the series. So was he ever trying to get you to you know, because he's always been that kind of person, always wanted to encourage people to keep.
He gave me a lot of encouragement to do that. You know, he was such a fan. I was reminded of that when we were at the his memorial the other day, looking at all the images of him on the screen and how often he had his warrior shirt on. So, yeah, he was a great, you know, booster. And of course, that's very flattering to meet and hang around someone that's a big fan of your music and stuff. But, you know, Warrior has been a pretty dysfunctional band, honestly. So we pushed through and managed to do some albums in various incarnations of the group. But it just wasn't to be to do another one. Not so far anyway. I won't say it's never say never, but
I think I saw something about a year or so ago that said you guys were thinking of doing an EP or something, but I guess it's nothing moving on that end, I guess.
You never know, you know, the energy keeps coming back, but I'm real busy right now doing my thing, building guitars and stuff, which I love that too. I'm kind of torn, you know, I miss playing and all that, but it's just, there's not enough hours in a day to do everything, unfortunately.
Sure. No, absolutely. Well, Joe, you know, I really appreciate you coming on and, you know, sharing some words with Bob, paying tribute to him. Is there any last words you want to say to Bob or about him that and we'll wrap this up?
Well, I just want to say, Bob, love you, brother. And, you know, hope to see you on the other side. He's a beautiful human, and so grateful I got to know him.